Welcome to the Leap Health in the Workplace podcast. Leap Health empowers individuals and organisations to improve both their physical and mental health. In this podcast, we explore innovative, bespoke, proven health solutions that will improve your personal and professional productivity and happiness. I'm Anna Redde. Let's get ready to make small steps to Leap Health. Hello and welcome to the podcast today. I am super excited to be welcoming Amy Kendall, who is Head of Digital and Partnership at Kinetic Wellbeing. And our topic today is all around blood pressure. Amy works really closely with Blood Pressure UK, so it's going to give us a real insight into a lot of awareness around blood pressure, the types of signs and symptoms, and the things that you can really do to help yourself. So I'm really interested in this topic. When I first started my career about 21 years ago, I started in the pharmaceutical industry selling a product for blood pressure. And back then, the links between blood pressure and lots of other complications weren't really established. And I remember going in to see a doctor who straight away told me, "Do you know what? I think blood pressure is linked to Alzheimer's." Back then, there were really, really not a lot of links together. Fast forward today, and we really, really learned so much about the impact that blood pressure can have on multiple long-term conditions. So, you know, I really feel like this is going to be an important podcast, not just to think about those long-term conditions, but also those short-term ones as well, and how important it is to be really proactive in managing your blood pressure. So, welcome to the podcast today. A bit more about Amy. Over the past couple of years, she's worked tirelessly with the national charity Blood Pressure UK to help raise awareness of the need to know and manage your blood pressure. She's passionate about the role of digital in building and engaging experiences, and that'll help deliver tangible improvements in people's health. Her team has just launched My Blood Pressure, which is a free of charge digital service to track and manage your blood pressure. And there's testimony to this. So I'm looking forward to learning a little bit more about this. So welcome to the podcast today, Amy.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Great to see you. And is there anything that I've missed out there in that intro? Anything that you want to add?
No, I think you covered it wonderfully, Anna. I think, obviously at Kinetic Wellbeing, we are the UK's largest manufacturer of medical devices. So we would have been historically known to make, you know, thermometers, blood pressure monitors, pulse oximeters. But over the last couple of years, we've really tried to move more into how do we empower people to manage their health at home. And that's really where the relationship with Blood Pressure UK really strengthened. We recognise them as a great charity with such an important mission, right? Lowering the blood pressure of the UK. And it's such a prevalent issue in our society, and particularly in the UK, it's higher than other Western countries, say like Canada, the US, the level of undiagnosis, and for a number of reasons. We're just trying to join those dots about how do we raise awareness of the need to know your numbers, not just provide the actual device which tells you what they are.
That's wonderful, and that's absolutely aligned with everything I talk about in the workplace, is that you've got to be proactive in your own health, and it's all about empowering people to be proactive in their own health, which sounds really what you're doing. So before that, we get started into this, let's just clarify, what exactly is blood pressure and what's a healthy reading, Amy?
So blood pressure, the most simple way to describe it, is the pressure against your kind of artery walls. So you've got two numbers. You might know them as the top number, the systolic, and the bottom number, the diastolic. And so that's the pressure exerted against the top number, your arteries, when your heart is pumping, so beating. And then the bottom number is the pressure when you're against your arteries, and your arteries when your heart is at rest. And so actually both numbers matter. You might have a really healthy reading for your top number, but if your bottom number is elevated against across the healthy range, then they would still look to treat you as someone with high blood pressure. So the healthy range that we're kind of looking for is anywhere from 90 for your top number, over 60 for your bottom number, all the way up to 120 over 80.
Thank you, Amy. And is there anything, I know when I was working in blood pressure many years ago, you had different targets for different conditions. Can you give us a little bit more information about that, please?
Yes, yeah, so one of the things we look at is, so the NHS, right, everything we do is kind of guided by NICE guidelines, what the NHS say. And we're really clear on that because in the end, we're kind of a manufacturer and charity working in this space, but we're not healthcare professionals in the same way, right? And so we work to their guidelines. There's two kind of cutoffs for blood pressure in the UK. There's the clinical setting where, say, stage one, which is, you know, that where they kind of diagnose you as stage one hypertension, the kind of the first section would be like 140 over 90 in a clinical setting. Because there's this thing, white coat hypertension, right? You see a doctor and all of a sudden you feel your blood pressure going up. But then that drops to 135 over 85 in a home setting. And they're really encouraging that kind of measurement of your blood pressure at home, where you can sit down, really sit down quietly beforehand, rest, you know, have your feet on the ground, all the advice they give to get that accurate reading. There's other, you know, as well, what we say within My Blood Pressure, which I'm sure we'll talk about more later, is to always take guidance of a healthcare professional, be that your GP, nurse, pharmacist, whoever you're speaking with, because to your point, different factors do impact it. So if you have, you know, health issues related to your kidneys, you're diabetic, the targets might vary slightly.
Yeah. And that's a great point, isn't it? That, yeah, to contact your healthcare professional to get that specific understanding of what is a good target for you.
And that's what we really work to do. We look to raise awareness so that people that maybe have never known their numbers, they've never, you know, they don't know their blood pressure. We're trying to find those people, right? Like, know your numbers. You should know this just like we know our height and weight, right? That's our ambition. People would know their blood pressure just like they know their BMI or other things like that. But then also there's lots, like hundreds of thousands of people out there that maybe are on meds, but they haven't, they're still not tracking their blood pressure. So they're not maybe aware of how effective their medication is. And maybe people who had healthy blood pressure, but there's people in their family that have had hypertension. And so there's maybe more of a tendency that will develop with age, just to keep an eye on it, to your point, to proactively manage their own health. So we're working in the space really of like prevention over cure. How can we find people early and promote diet and lifestyle changes that mean that their numbers come into a healthier range before, unfortunately, they experience some of the quite nasty side effects of high blood pressure? No, most commonly known cardiovascular disease issues, strokes. So, and we'd rather kind of empower people to make the right choices when they're at 135 over 85, say, instead of seeing that rocket up and then have to, you know, come back from something like a stroke or heart attack.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's far better to know that information so you can put those lifestyle interventions in early. And also picking up on another interesting point you just made then, is that people often know the weight and the height, but don't know the blood pressure. And yet the long-term complications can, you know, be just as detrimental as something with obesity, maybe. But because it's not as visual and we don't actually see maybe that weight piling on when we look in the mirror, it's not to say that we should neglect what's going on in our body, because it can be huge consequences for not doing that. So just because something maybe in asymptomatic doesn't mean that we can be ignorant of the fact that it's not there.
Exactly. And as you know, well, maybe you don't know, it's called the silent killer for a reason. You know if you're gaining weight, you know if you're asthmatic, right? You feel it in your body. With blood pressure, with high blood pressure, it's asymptomatic. So you might be walking around literally like a ticking bomb and you just don't know. And historically, I think in this country, people are finding out when it's too late, right? Like when they've suffered one of those kind of health issues as a result of having sustained high blood pressure over a long period of time.
Yeah, really, really good point. So I know you've probably, you know, spoken slightly about some of this, but maybe you could add some more in terms of what are some of the alarming stats around blood pressure diagnosis, treatment and consequences?
Some of the what, sorry?
Some of the alarming stats around
blood
pressure diagnosis, treatment and consequences.
Yes, yeah, so you know, I think the most alarming stat that we're kind of trying to do our best to lower is just the level of undiagnosis in the UK. You know, there's over 5.5 million people now who have got undiagnosed hypertension in the UK. And so really just trying to raise awareness. So, you know, think of that as, and also, you know, the stat 1 in 3 adults are probably suffering with it. So you've got an incredibly high prevalence, but also high level of undiagnosis right now in the UK.
Yeah, and it is it's a huge number, but it's also could be a huge cost to the NHS and burden to the NHS if left untreated.
Yeah, and I think it's something like eight million a year NHS costs for the kind of untreated nature of it. It's probably even higher than that number. I'm probably mistaken.
Absolutely. So anyone who's actually been sent out a letter to go for, you know, maybe they're over 45 check, you go and get it done, because just that investing that time can save a lot of time.
It literally can save your life, and you know, and it definitely can, if you're managing blood pressure effectively, it can definitely lead to a longer and healthier life. The facts speak for themselves. And yeah, go to your GP, but also we all know our GPs are under, you know, probably more pressure than we'd like. And so I think the thing about blood pressure is it's easily done in the home. You know, the monitors, and particularly the monitors, the way we design them, the way we produce them, they are so anybody can use them. Most of our monitors have single button operation. You literally press start, you apply the cuff, you make sure you're sat in the right position, which is, you know, back against something straight, feet on the ground, sit, rest for 5 minutes if you can beforehand, and sit quietly throughout taking the reading. You are going to get an accurate indication of your blood pressure. And you might want to take that a step further and follow some of the kind of advice of the NHS, where you can take 3 readings and calculate an average of that. But really, you know, the monitors, our monitors start from 1999, you know, 2499. We have a whole range of them from 1999 all the way up to your smart Bluetooth connected one, if you kind of fancy and want it all to appear on your phone. And so, you know, we spend £20 on a bottle of wine and a pizza for a Friday night. We spend £20 without thinking, right, going for a coffee nowadays. And so really just having one, and you don't have to have one in every home, but if you have one, let your sister, you know, measure her blood pressure when she's over. You know, I've got a bit of a reputation now that wherever I go, I'm checking my family or friends' blood pressure just to make sure, just that quick little sense check on how they are.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's that peace of mind, isn't it? So for some people, if they are worrying about it as well, it's that peace of mind to know that you can get a reading straight away. And then being able to act upon that information. So what are some of the factors causing high blood pressure then? What might lead to high blood pressure?
I think some of the biggest ones, and particularly when I listen to people who know a lot more than me on this topic, some of the doctors and the professors in this space, one of the biggest levers they talk about is salt. So we have a lot of processed food in our diet now, right, where we maybe didn't used to. Or we're eating fast food and more unhealthy food. So I think salt is one of the biggest levers. And that's one of the reasons we work with low salt for my blood pressure. They're one of our partners because they provide a sodium reduced equivalent of salt and the recipes that you can use with kind of lower salt. And so definitely reducing the amount of sodium in your diet. And again, high fatty foods, cholesterol, there's a relationship between high cholesterol and high blood pressure. So reducing them. And I think just the move on, you know, eating more fruit and veg, more whole grains, the stuff that we know, but we maybe don't realise actually does impact our heart health quite significantly.
Absolutely. And yeah, as a nutritionist, I do find that there's, you know, lots of brands out there that are really misleading, that might claim to be maybe high in protein, high in healthy fats and things, but often are quite highly processed. And, you know, a lot of salt in there as well, which maybe we don't focus on as much as we probably did a few years ago. Everything goes through phases, doesn't it, with nutrition? And yeah, so I would, from a nutritionist perspective, I would really encourage people to be checking labels, you know, just check that salt content and things and be aware of how much is in there.
And there's also other things in your daily life that if you can keep, and I'm not saying never drink coffee, never drink alcohol or any of those things, but just watching the amount of caffeine you're having, you know, maybe, and making active decisions to take it to a healthier level. So, you know, if you are drinking 4 coffees right now every day, you know, maybe you can start to drink 3, then 2, and then, you know, if you can, even 1. So looking to reduce caffeine, alcohol, there's lots of factors, right? That's the thing about blood pressure. Lots of different factors can impact it, and there's not one answer for everybody. It's partly why it's so important to actually track your blood pressure over time, because we can't just say, oh, cut out salt and then it'll definitely increase, because exercise might be a really big lever for one person, but reducing caffeine is a bigger lever for somebody else, because our bodies are so unique, right? And that's the importance to measure. That's the importance of why you have to measure your blood pressure over time. It's not just about taking one reading in isolation. It's your blood pressure over time. So it changes through the day, but also looking at how it's trending over a week at a time is really important.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, you alluded to, again, that caffeine and alcohol. So there could be multiple reasons, and specific to yourself, because everyone's individual, as to why that might not be a beneficial choice for your blood pressure. So, for instance, alcohol dehydrates you, impacts and impairs your sleep, which reduces your body's ability to repair. It does impact on your mental health, so then that can impact on your blood pressure as well. Again, with the caffeine, can have a diuretic effect, it can impair your sleep. So it's not just one particular thing that's going to cause one particular thing, and that's why it's really good to have that individualized approach and empower yourself with that information. So if you know you've made one particular life choice and then you can see it's had, you know, this impact on your blood pressure, it makes it easier for you to understand what are those life choices that are having a big impact on your blood pressure and on your overall health as well. So yeah, it's fascinating. So what are some of the signs and symptoms that people should be looking out for?
Well, I guess to our point about it being asymptomatic, really the best thing I can advise is that you measure it. There's nothing that replaces just getting that reading and checking your blood pressure. And so whether you do that in a pharmacy, whether you do that at home, whether you do that if you have a GP, kind of an opportunity to meet the GP, that's the best thing to do, right? It's not going to present itself in, when it does present itself in more obvious ways, it's often too late and it's been high for a sustained period of time.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So yeah, when you are probably in that medical setting, it's probably too late then. You're probably dealing with the consequences of that high blood pressure. So yeah, big ask for everybody. Be proactive in making sure that your blood pressure is within the normal range. And particularly, as you alluded to earlier on, if you've got a family history, even more reason. Or even, you know, if you're under a lot of stress at the moment, and I work predominantly in the corporate world with, you know, senior leaders and managers and people who are in really stressful roles, and they don't always know what the blood pressure is, and actually they might think that they're at the top of the game now because they're juggling all sorts and, you know, high flying careers, but beneath it all they need to know what the blood pressure is, because there could be, you know, that stress could be causing long-term consequences. So it is always important to be making sure that you're having that downtime, you know, trying to reduce your stress levels so that you're not causing long-term complications, and being aware of what's going on in your body right now, such as your blood pressure. So I've just kind of touched on that a little bit, but I'd love to know your thoughts, Anna. How do you think the workplace world of 2023 could be increasing our blood pressure risk?
Yeah, I think stress is definitely a key factor. And I think probably even since post-COVID, you know, less access to maybe directly to the healthcare system because of the waiting times and all of that. People are less willing to probably go see a doctor or even get checked. I think as well, our maybe increasingly sedentary lifestyles, you know, exercise is definitely something that helps to lower your blood pressure. And, you know, if you read the papers, you'd have seen there's lots of research recently in isometric exercises, you know, the benefits of wall and squats and planks and to lower your blood pressure. And within my blood pressure, so myblood pressure.co.uk, you can see there's lots of free exercises that we've done with a personal trainer from Nuffield on just easy exercises you can do in your home to help lower your blood pressure. Because I think, you know, the workplace in 2023, we're all time poor, right? We've got families, we've got busy jobs, and often looking after our health becomes the kind of falls down the priority list. I think as we become more aware of the fact that if we look after our health and we are sleeping and we are doing things to relax, we are eating well, actually we're more efficient in the workplace. And something that I always think about when, you know, I came from a corporate background. I did the first 10 years of my career in Accenture. And I remember always being given these welcome packs with, you know, bottles, branded coffee cups, branded notebooks. And when I joined Kinetic, we give a branded like health box so that you can measure your blood pressure, have a, measure the temperature, measure your blood oxygen saturation, which was really key during kind of COVID for respiratory issues. And it's got me thinking, I think there's definite space for the corporate world to support that. And we actually run some corporate wellbeing events to just helping people understand, you know, what is blood pressure? What are your numbers, which is the important point, right? And we provide kind of lunchtime opportunities for people to do that. And we're always really amazed by the level of engagement. You know, people, when they see the opportunity for a free blood pressure check, we've always got a queue at the events we're doing. People are like, oh, yeah, I got a message from a GP about that. Oh, yeah, my mum had a stroke. I should do that. Or my dad had a heart attack. I need to check mine. And so just taking that check maybe slightly earlier, you know, into your 40s, instead of waiting and thinking blood pressure is something you need to think about kind of 60 plus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A change in that perception that it's not just an older person's. It can be younger. And yeah, as you said, you know, our lifestyles now, particularly like working from home, like you said, when we sat down a lot more, these are all small little things can compromise our health. But yeah, what a great opportunity in the corporate setting when people can just, you know, take a few minutes to get the blood pressure checked. And if you think long term, you know, the results of that, if people, it does come to surface that people have got high blood pressure, how many, you know, preventative measures you can put in place and reduce long-term complications just from having that mass blood pressure testing could be huge. So, yeah.
And that's the thing about blood pressure, Anna, that's wonderful, is that if you are hypertensive, it's not the end of the story for you. You know, depending on where your number is, there are changes in diet and lifestyle does impact your blood pressure. I've got a friend of mine who just naturally, through making significant diet and lifestyle changes, has brought his blood pressure down from 168 over 100 to like 140 over 93. So he's brought himself from, you know, at risk kind of stage two into the border of pre-hypertensive and stage one just by doing lifestyle changes. But even if you do have medication, it's curable, you know, taking the medication, if you take it, and you do it as your doctor advises, and you take it regularly, not just the pill when you remember, it does lead to a decrease in your blood pressure. So it's totally, you know, you can do something about it. There's a lot of hope if you do find that your numbers are higher than they should be.
Absolutely, absolutely. And those lifestyle interventions are not just only going to lower your blood pressure. There's going to be multiple benefits from that as well. You're going to feel better. You're going to reduce your risk factors for all different long-term comorbidities. So yeah, putting in those lifestyle interventions has multiple wins down the line, and again down the line in terms of longevity can mean that maybe you're around for longer. Mm. You've got a better quality of life. So if you're thinking right now it's not maybe a priority, or you know, I'm asymptomatic, I don't have any reason to test my blood pressure, just try and think of what the consequences down the line could be if you fail to identify that you've got higher blood pressure. So it's all about that proactive approach to health. So we've kind of touched on this as well. Have you got any other ways that you think we could probably naturally lower our blood pressure? And what would be like your key small steps to lowering your blood pressure naturally?
Yeah, I think looking to reduce salt would be number one. So whether that is, you know, it can be a journey as well, right? As you adjust your taste buds. I think making the right steps in the right, you know, small steps in the right direction is really key, right? If you just say no salt ever in my diet, then you might miss it. And then you go back before you know it, you're adding salt to everything. So start by maybe, you know, don't add salt when you're cooking, and then you can add a tiny bit when you're eating, or choose. I always say to people when I'm speaking to them, oh, but I love salt, I can't cope without salt. Well, there's probably a couple of things that you really need salt on, right? So some people, I absolutely have to have it on eggs, or I must have it when I have fries, but you know, fries aren't the best for you anyway. But so maybe just have it just on those couple of things. Maybe this isn't what the NHS say, but this is the advice that I always give my friends and family. You know, make those little adjustments, be active where you can. You know, I have a desk, an office-based job, but I just took part in a walking challenge over 3 months to make me get up in the morning, get out walking, or instead of just sitting still and working through my lunch break, getting in 5,000 steps at lunch, you know, making decisions to have more of an active lifestyle, you know, cutting down drinking, maybe instead of drinking every night, drink two nights a week, you know, follow the advice of the NHS in terms of the number of units of alcohol that is maybe, you know, recommended. And then diet choices, I think eating less processed food, less high fat, high saturated fat foods, looking for whole grain options. So, you know, I've started young, I've got two young children. We don't have white pasta. I want them to be very used to having whole grain pasta from the off, making those kind of diet and lifestyle changes. And step by step, and I think it's something that as you see your blood pressure improve, you feel more motivated, don't you? It's like weight loss. You start to see, you know, the kilos go. You think, oh, this is working. I'll keep running. I'll keep making good choices with when it comes to what I eat. So I think it's probably the same with blood pressure.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. Seeing that progress is a really important thing to keeping your momentum going, I guess. And, yeah, in terms of like the bit about salt, you can flavour things in lots of other ways. So it might just be that it's habitual, or that, you know, your grandparents always flavoured things with salt. I remember my granddad, he used to put so much salt on everything, and it was the thing to do. But now you can flavour things with lots of different spices, you know, even different like lemon juice and things on some dishes, rather than have them salty. So just think outside of the box, or even like, you know, a good healthy fat, a nice drizzle of olive oil flavors things, olive oil, balsamic vinegar, just as well as that traditional salt. So it's just being mindful, and I guess hydrating as well. If you are having that salt, making sure that you're hydrating also. And then, as you said, you know, getting your steps in during the day. I always talk a lot about make health contagious. So in the workplace, if you're doing something good, share it with someone else, motivate someone else to do something. And I know we're recording over Zoom right now, Amy, but if we weren't recording over Zoom, or I guess we still could do that in a walk and talk situation. Sometimes we just automatically put these video calls in because it's habitual now, since it's just automatically we're booking back-to-back video calls. But just look in your diary and see, does this really need to be a video call today, or could I possibly change it? So just try to change the norm a little bit and think outside of the box. But no, you gave us some great suggestions there, Amy. Thank you. One other question that I'd like to ask is, what other things can blood pressure impact on? So I mentioned maybe, you know, Alzheimer's. Any other like areas that you want to touch on? I know naturally as we go through menopause, our blood pressure can increase, so we can be more susceptible to high blood pressure during that perimenopause and menopause period. Often we always associate it with cardiovascular disease, but what other complications are there around having high blood pressure?
Yeah, I think obviously the ones that we all know about and talk about are some of, you know, cardiovascular, so heart attacks and things like that. There's also stroke. It is very prevalent. And then there's things that maybe people don't know about. So, you know, kidney, it can lead to significant issues with your kidneys, and even as well as Alzheimer's, there's a relationship between elevated blood pressure and dementia. People don't realize it can increase your chances of having dementia as well later in life. So it really, and it's no surprise, right? The importance of the arteries which carry blood around our body, it's probably not a surprise if you sit and think about it. Oh, wow, this actually can impact quite a lot of my body. And that's why it's so important to get it under, you know, get it under control and keep an eye on it. You know, the World Health Organization are doing so much work in this space. It was recently World Health Day as well, wasn't it, with the World Heart Federation, just trying to get the message out there. I think it's cardiovascular disease is like the number one killer in the world now. And so just trying to raise awareness of that. Yeah, in addition to the main ones like heart attacks and strokes, I guess the next ones are the kidney disease, dementia, things like that. And they're not good news, unfortunately.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it is interesting, isn't it? Because the more and more we learn and the more studies that are carried out, we just realise more and more that everything is interlinked and that you can't treat anything in isolation. I remember, back to the pharma days when I worked in pharma, that was a big push we always had in trying to link departments together rather than just treating one thing in isolation. And this is, as an individual, how you can really steer your health journey by being open to the ideas that you might have one symptom, but it could be related to multiple things. And that's how you've really got to empower yourself with that information to find the right solution for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Kinetic Wellbeing, we produce blood glucose monitoring systems, right, as well for diabetics, and then blood pressure monitors for hypertensives. The reality is, a diabetic, there's a relationship between diabetes and blood pressure, right? Because the diabetes does something to the, you can tell I'm not a doctor here, but how kind of elastic your arteries are. So it increases the tension. And so we have at these events that we run around all across the UK, offering free blood pressure checks. So many people said to me, oh yeah, I measure my blood pressure because I'm diabetic. And it really got me thinking, and we'll be doing some more work at this in next year on how do we support people as a whole, one person, their health. And they might be diabetic, but then they also need to be empowered to understand, well, what does that mean for my blood pressure? And I agree 100% the kind of the relationship between them.
Absolutely, absolutely. We'd need a lot more of a holistic approach, absolutely. So if people want to get the blood pressure measured, they're thinking now, it's about time I got mine checked. How can they actually get it measured easily and speedily?
Yeah, so if... So a number of pharmacies offer free or you can pay for them blood pressure checks, and also kind of nurses and doctors if you're seeing your GP for a reason. But the advice of the kind of NHS and increasingly the focus is home blood pressure monitoring, because it is something you can so accurately measure at home. So I would advise you to pick up a blood pressure monitor. Make sure it's approved and validated by, it's called BIHS, so British and Irish Hypertension Society. That's super important because there's so many cheap knockoffs on the market. So you must look that it's clinically validated, that it's accurate, that the algorithm inside that little bit of plastic is going to give you an accurate view of your blood pressure. And then get one and take it home and measure it, first thing in the morning, maybe before you get up, before you walk around too much, before you eat and drink or have breakfast, and just check it at home and then keep an eye on it, right? So I think we've touched on this before, mypressure.co.uk, totally free of charge for service. You can go in there, you can create a profile, you can add your readings, you then can see those readings over time. You can see what, from a doctor, our Dr. Katie from our clinical team explains to you exactly what your reading means and if there's any action you need to take on the back of it. And then you've got a digital, say, almost record of your readings, because you might be healthy, right? And then you might decide, I don't need to measure again for another year. So you can, maybe pop to a pharmacist or pick or get your blood pressure monitor out again in 6 months or a year. But then if you measure it for a few days again in a year's time, you think, oh, it's trending upwards. Then you start to think, I need to keep an eye on that or maybe make some kind of lifestyle changes. So, yeah, I would get a monitor and check yours and your family's as soon as you can if you never have.
Thank you. Thank you. And understanding those trends is important, isn't it, to get an accurate picture of what's going on, and maybe even see, if it is your blood pressure is increasing, the speed at which it is increasing is probably a key mm-hmm. factor to know as well.
And one of the things that GPs will ask for in that, if your blood pressure is high, so if you are above that kind of, in a clinical setting, 140 over 90 or 135 over 85 at home, they'll ask you to do something called a 7-day home blood pressure monitoring, where you take three readings over 7 days, and then you basically take away the first day reading and calculate an average of that. And they're trying to see what, what your max is during that period, but what your minimum, but also what is your average? Where does your blood pressure sit over a longer period of time, not just one reading in isolation? And that's why, you know, part of what we did, Kinetic Wellbeing and Blood Pressure UK, is we talked together and said, this is such a big topic, right? We're not going to fix everything, but where can we build something that is really customer friendly, low barrier entry, really easy to use, that helps people in the accurate kind of diagnosis or management of their blood pressure? And that was the heart really behind My Blood Pressure. It allows you to take those 7-day readings, create a report, share that with your doctor, and then you've got it all there, right? Easy, without having to do any calculations yourself.
Definitely, definitely. And yeah, just having snapshots doesn't really give you the full picture, does it? I do a lot of work in menopause awareness in the workplace. And I'm constantly saying, you know, people keep getting these hormone tests, but your hormones fluctuate so much, as your blood pressure can do as well. So just having one reading isn't always that accurate. It's good to have readings over multiple days and multiple time to actually get the best understanding how it is. And so you've mentioned a few things that Blood Pressure UK can offer, and that you can log all your blood pressures at different times. But what else can Blood Pressure UK offer to individuals?
So Blood Pressure UK, fantastic charity, working really hard. They have wonderful resources on their website. So if you check out their website, they've got lots of educational information there about, you know, what is blood pressure, how can you naturally lower it, just advice to help you understand more about your blood pressure. They also run something called Know Your Numbers Week, which happens every September, so keep an eye out for that in 2024, where they run, like, they support lots of different pressure stations across the UK where you can get your blood pressure checked for free. And they're just lobbying, you know, for the more and more awareness so people do, you know their numbers.
Thank you. And as you said as well, you've got Dr. Swift that works with you as well, that can provide support around that as well. So you've got that clinical support there as well.
Yes, so we have Dr. Katie within our team in Kinetic, and then Dr. Pauline Swift is actually one of the trustees at Blood Pressure UK. So she's a professor she's a doctor in the space of hypertension, and particularly I think works in the kidney, kind of impact on the kidneys. And so she's part of the team at Blood Pressure UK. And she's been such a helpful input into what we're doing to help raise awareness, but also then monitoring and managing through My Blood Pressure.
Yeah, so you have got the support there of those clinicians. And and so just to confirm, the website is www.bloodpressureuk.
So www.mybloodpressure.co.uk for the free of charge service, and then bloodpressure.org.uk for the charity website. And then if you did want to get hold of a clinically validated blood pressure monitor for use in the home, you're going to be heading over to kineticwellbeing.com.
Thank you very much, Amy. So as we draw this to a close, I do always talk about 3 steps to leap health. So if you could tell me, please, what would be your 3 take-home messages to leap health? That would be brilliant.
So number one, know your numbers. If you don't know your blood pressure, check it today. Number 2, watch your salt. Don't add it onto your food, minimize salt. And I guess number 3, get active. Where you can, make choices to make healthy, exercise and build that into your lifestyle.
Absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. So 1, know your numbers. 2, be careful of your salt. And 3, get moving. Okay, we'll close on that. It has been lovely to chat with you today, Amy. Have you got anything to add before we close, or where can people find you?
No, that's all, Hannah. Thank you for having me today.
Thank you. So before you stop listening, I want you to think about how you can make health contagious. Did anything resonate in the podcast? What did you learn that was new? Did you hear something that you thought someone else would love to hear? If so, please share this podcast. Please leave me a review, or please get in touch at anna@leaphealth.co.uk to learn more about how you can improve physical and mental health of individuals and those in the workplace, so that everybody can feel happier and healthier and more productive. Thank you.